Hey y'all, hey, welcome to the Meta Mind Shift Show. I am your host. My name is Tech Nicole, but you can also call me Nicole. Some people also call me the Metaverse Goddess, but Tech Nicole will do just fine for today. I am so delighted that you're here. I'm so happy to have everybody as you're watching. Do me a favor right now. No matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, stop. Collaborate and listen. No, I'm just kidding. Stop and tweet this out. Put it out on Instagram. Tell the people to come a running. The Meta Mind Shift Show is on and it is going to be popping today. So I want to thank everybody for coming through. Again, my name is Nicole Maxwell. I am the CEO of Black Multiverse Enterprises. I am the founder of the Blackverse Metaverse community. And I'm also the owner of Technical Consulting. I'm also your hostess for today at the Meta Mind Shift Show. We're really, 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 really happy for you to be here today. And man, we got a whole lot of things going on. We have some really cool stuff that's happening in the space. This show is dedicated to the metaverse and to the future. And that future is decentralized. Don't you ever forget it. So as we are coming to a space where we're coming to know what the metaverse is and we're seeing people discover that more and more and more, it's important that we know what the heck the metaverse is. Like, what are we doing? What are we building out? What are people building out? What solutions are available? So some of you guys may know that I have had a goal of being as decentralized as possible this year. And so I stepped into this year and I said, you know what, let's do it, let's try some things. So I stepped into the year in kind of confidence in my decentralization, but definitely resonating with the spirit of Web3. What does that look like and how can I show up? And so I've showed up and 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 I kept showing up and I kept diving into certain things and having really good conversations about decentralization and what that looks like. And then, you know, I kind of decided that everyone's going to have their flavor of decentralization. Like, and just talking to people and kind of discovering what different people are doing. Some people just don't give two hoots about decentralization at all. And so that is just the reality of the thing. They're in it for really cool stuff like an NFT, or they're in it for, you know, the fact that, hey, my whole community's here and why not? These people are cool. Let's hang out. And they're not really here for the decentralization piece. Like, other people are here because they get their names in magazine covers, or they want to be seen. And so they think that that's really all that it's about. And for me, it's not. Like, I like to be a little bit more laid back. I like to dive in and I like to get to know the people, because the people are what matter to me. It is all about being able to connect with people and help. And so some of you guys know, if you watch the show, first of all, thank you. Second of all, if you are here watching right now, I need you to do me a favor. Tweet this out. Put it out on your Instagram. Tell folks the show is live. Tell folks that you're watching. Do me a favor, no matter where you are, whether you are watching us live on the Black Business Network, you're hanging out over on Pod TV, you're watching us on Roku, Hulu, Amazon, or Twitch. Twitch, we just recently added Twitch to the mix. I don't know why I wasn't streaming to my Twitch. I've had a Twitch forever. But we need to make sure that we are liking and subscribing. So do me two favors. Take 4.5 seconds. Find the subscribe or the like button, the follow button, and follow. Now, if you are watching me and it is later on, so maybe you're watching a replay, I want you to dive into the comments, but I also want you to, if you're listening on, so you're watching on Spotify or you're listening on Spotify, or you are listening on any one of our other podcasting networks like iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, any of those, because there's a whole lot out there that we are distributed on. We're with Max Distribution. So we are definitely hanging out with maxdistribution.live. And so they're also going to be a sponsor of the show. Really excited to just keep in continuing to extend what we're doing and have folks catch on. So we're everywhere. And it was so cool because this week I actually had an interview with someone and that person actually watched the show, which was a little weird, but it was definitely interesting to have had that experience. And so, you know, guys, decentralization is happening. Web3 is happening. The metaverse is happening. It's all empowered by the blockchain. So if you don't hear the words blockchain when you're thinking about solutions or you're talking to solutions or you're tapping into certain things, then that's probably not a actual Web3 application. So there's a lot of fake and phony things out here that are kind of riding on the wheels of Web3. But they're just kind of placating like they're actually Web3. They're not really trying to be decentralized. So let's actually try to choose some applications that are decentralized. I did this a whole lot this weekend. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes. But before we do, we have a whole lot of news that's going on. And so one, this kind of fits into the idea of decentralization. It definitely fits into our world topics as we're thinking about the fact that the world is a little bit closer now that the internet is available, that people are going virtual and going global, we have access to some more things. So when we're thinking about those types of things, we think about privacy, we think about censorship, and we think about regulation. And so, yeah, we know that the federal government has decided to take a very close look at regulation for our spaces and what it is that we do. And so, you know, there's cryptocurrencies. And so there's always lots of talk about cryptocurrency and CBDCs. And that is a central central digitalized currency, right? So those kinds of things, those conversations are always happening. You hear about that all the time. But yo, what else is there? Like we have got to have better conversations than just NFTs. Not saying nothing against NFTs, but people have started to fan away from NFTs. So now that all the buzz and the hype is kind of dying down around them, and the markets are kind of changing a little bit, people are innovating, and that's what's important, is we are innovating. All that innovation, the whole purpose behind all of it, is to get us to a place where we are in the metaverse. And so this show is the Meta Mindshift show. This show is to make sure that you are thinking about the future and how your mind can shift to think about the future in the metaverse. So whether you are somebody who is tapping in for the first time, welcome. If you're somebody who watches us every week or you watch the replays every week, if you're one of our sponsors, thank you for being here. We appreciate you. I appreciate you. And we definitely, all of our community, shouts out to everybody over at Blackverse. We appreciate you guys for just always being there and for hanging out with us and for kind of walking us through this journey, man. So we have a lot of really cool things happen this last week. We're going to talk about the news this week. So stay tapped in. We don't have a special guest this week, but we do have some special guest stars on this news, because this news, man, we're about to break it on down. So and then, you know, towards the end, I'm going to go through something that I found that I spent a whole lot of time doing this weekend. We have this thing called a rabbit hole. And when you dive down it, it takes a minute to come back up. And sometimes you don't come back up. But it is what happens when you start doing your own research and finding your own way through this decentralized space. So we're going to kick things off, all right? But first up, you know how we do. We are definitely going to tap in and say thank you to our sponsors. So we'll do that. When we come back, we're going to take a look at some stories. And actually, before we go, we're going to kick things off with a story that's happening right now. So this one is all about regulation, and it is about, it's at the country level. So what's happening right now with Facebook and Canada? So I didn't know about this one until a few minutes ago, so I don't have a whole lot of details on it. I haven't dove all the way in, but it looks like we're having an argument about some censorship here. And I think that it's kind of funny that Facebook has the nerve to tell another country like what they're going to allow. So that country should, you know, honestly, nobody should be regulating the news and what information you are allowed to have. But Facebook has taken it on their own behalf to say that they are going to block news from a country. Now, first of all, if Nicole Maxwell woke up this morning and said, I'm going to block news from all of Virginia, that would be boisterous. It would be something that, you know, I probably don't have the capability of doing. But because Facebook has so much power and they know how to wield it, they can literally block news from thousands, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of users out in Canada that use their actual application to provide the news. And so when you think about providing the news and you think about Facebook and you think about how big that actually is, it's not just Facebook. So some of y'all say, oh, well, I ain't been on Facebook in forever. I should have done my account. Yeah, me too, sort of. but you also have the ability to think about things bigger because Facebook is not just one company. You think about all the different companies and the weight that that is wielding and say, I mean, that's, excuse my French, but that's a little ballsy to tell a whole country, yeah, we're not going to give you news. We're just not going to do it. This isn't the first time it's happened. It's not the second time it's happened. It's not the first country this has happened to. This happens quite frequently, actually, between the FANG companies when they decide that they're just not going to do something. And it's like, first of all, isn't your desire to support the people, like, where does this fit into that? And it's not, because it's all about data. And so when we think about data, this is a prime reason why we need to own our own data and why we need to have censorship-less types of applications that cannot do this crap. So when we're thinking about that, I want you guys to think about that over the course of these commercials that we're about to experience here, because we're going to pay some homage to our sponsors. But think about, how dare they? Like, what if they said that they were going to, like, a lot of us are here in the U.S. Oh, my gosh. A lot of us are here in the U.S. And so in the U.S., it is probably not going to happen anytime soon. Facebook could be able to do this. But what if they weren't able to do that? So we want to make sure that they are not able to do that. We're going to go to commercial before my battery dies. And so we'll be right back. Not yet. We'll be back in a second. Mind Shift Show is back. We're back here. My name is Technical. I'm so happy to have you. And so we welcome to all of our viewers. Thank you guys for being here. Thank you for staying tapped in. Want to say thank you to Black Multiverse Enterprises as well as Artsy and VR for sponsoring the show. We appreciate you. And yes, that is my company, and that is the company of one of my good friends, Artsy. But if you need a metaverse created, be thinking about what type of experience do you want to have. Black Multiverse Enterprises is specializing in providing Hall of Fame type of metaverse experience. We are also offering tributes and different things that you can do to set yourself up, set your organization up, do something a little different this holiday season, and provide people with an experience they're going to know and love. So, with that said, we'll come back to those kinds of things in a few minutes. Thank you to our sponsors. But that's not all we're talking about today. We got, yes, we have sponsors. That's awesome. We love them. We appreciate them. But we're talking about data. We're talking about privacy. And we're talking about the future of decentralization. And so we are talking about the story that's out here right now with Facebook and Canada, a whole entire country. And Facebook's deciding that they want to ban the news. First of all, how are you going to ban the news? Second of all, that's too much power for one company to have. We've said this time and time again. Decentralization matters. So does censorship and not having censorship. Just imagine, especially as we're looking at our communities, what not having the news could do when, you know, you have something something as egregious as the murder of George Floyd. If we didn't have the news when that came out, what would have happened as a country? What would not have happened as a country as well? So think about kind of the transformation that took place with kind of just awareness globally, because that situation was on the news in so many different spaces. We're also in an age where we have social media now, right? So we have social media now. So social media is a way to spread things very quickly. So Facebook, again, operates Instagram. Instagram is social media at its finest, right? It is a place where we all tap into. We also have things like TikTok. So these are very large organisms that are out here that exist to spread information. And not only do we have Google search, we have Facebook, Instagram, and TikToks and things like that, that and Twitters of the world that allow us to communicate and connect with each other. One thing that I recall over, you know, kind of the course of the last year on Clubhouse is that we definitely came to an understanding that we all had to own our own communities, because if that access point, if that gathering point went down, what would we be doing? What would that look like, and how would we proceed? So all of those things are reasons for decentralization. We never, ever, especially as business owners, ever want to be in a space where our data is not something that we have access to, not in our communities, are not something that we have access to. So we just can't do that. So in the news this week and over the last couple of weeks, there has been a lot of buzz around decentralized storage. So I started off telling us that, hey, you know, we have other things out here other than NFTs. And there are other ways to show up in a decentralized fashion. And yes, some of that decentralization is showing up in a distributed type of fashion. But again, this goes back to the idea of what do you consider decentralized? To me, I'm fleshing this out still. And I think that a lot of us are in that space where it's like, I haven't quite got 100% what I want to do. I just know that I want to do that thing. Like, that's the way to be. I would rather be that than to be in a space where my information is controlled by anybody besides me. Like, I definitely want to be able to be the person that's kind of owning the directionality of my data. But what does that look like? So when you have an idea right now, you have a server, right? So any of these big platforms, any of the FAANG companies, so Facebook, Amazon, Network, or Netflix, Google, Microsoft, all of those are FAANG companies. So all those FAANG companies, and Apple is the most centralized of all, Apple. So we have all these companies out here that have access to what we call servers, right? So you have a server and data is collected and inserted into that server. Databases are designed to hold data. And so every time you're pointing and clicking, every time you put on your headset, every time you are enjoying an activity, or even right now you're watching some sort of broadcast, there's data that's happening behind the scenes. And so what's happening is, like, all this data is being compiled together, and that is a term called analytics. And if you watched my course this morning, you know some tools that are able to help you go out and analyze all this data. If you've ever analyzed this data, then you know, you're well aware of all the different attributes that you know about your user base behind the scenes. So just letting you know, if you visit a website, they now have access to, and the cookies are on. So cookies are those little things that sit inside your web browser that track literally everything that you're doing. So those things, they know, and based on your browser settings, they know your age range. They know whether you're male or female, and I'm saying that in quotes. They know your location, because we readily give that to all of our GPS applications. So all that information is used and it's gathered, and then it's stored in relation to you and what you do. So when you go out and you are looking at new cars, that information is stored. When you are going and you're looking at breakfast down the street, that information is stored. We had a course today. And so part of being able to provide good service, Google allows businesses to register. And when they do that, that enables you to go out and search for Belgian waffles near me, and come up with all the little businesses that are in your area because of not only GPS, not only location, but also because of the data that you have. And it basically curates your information for you based on your likes, your dislikes, and the other stuff that's in your search history, right? So those of you who like adult things, that's curated too. So just know that's out there. So when we're thinking about data, one thing that we have seen actually happen, and I swear this happened today, WhatsApp went down, right? And so when these servers go down, which they do from time to time, your experience is interrupted. Your data has been hacked and breached over and over and over again because it sits inside of a centralized data source, right? And so when it sits inside that centralized data source, it makes it really, really easy for someone else to gain access to, because all they got to do is crack it one time. And then they got it and they go off and sell it on the black market. You can talk to your cybersecurity experts about that, because Nicole's not the one. But I am the one who is always cognizant of all the stuff actually happening. There is also things like what's happening now with Facebook and Canada. So your being censored because of your data. So you're being told that, you know, you're from a certain part of the world, you can't access news in America, or you're being told that, you know, you're over the age of 65, so we're never going to show you the coolest Nintendo games that are coming out, or, you know, kind of whatever is going to be on the Oculus headset. Like, that's not going to be shown to those who are 65 and older, unless it's something like Alcove, because, hey, that's for the seniors, right? So we want to make sure that your experience is relative to you. Sure, that personalization of your data, it should be a thing. But what should not be a thing is being able to take that data and sell it to somebody who isn't you. So you are the end user. You are, and let me back that up. I don't want to say you're the end user. You are the participant, because when we talk about Web3, we speak differently, right? So end users exist in Web2. Participants, community members, they exist in Web3. And so you are a participant in the process of data. You are a participant and a player and an owner when it comes to Web3. And so you come to play. And that is what I love about Web3, is that you are enabled and empowered to do what you got to do. And so I've always said this, and you know, people can probably quote me on this, but I am very excited about a future where I have my own troop of data analysts who are out here, and they are analyzing data and being able to help people as they onboard into Web3 to make the best decisions about where to put their affiliations, where to put their partnerships, and who's going to give them the biggest bang for their buck when it comes to selling their data as an end user, not as a company, not as an organization. So that idea of the third party, that's removed. These are going to be people that are hired by us as individuals to transact and make ideas, but they're going to be able to provide suggestions for what we could do, right? Like, that's just different. Like, right now what happens is these folks go out here and they transact our data behind our backs, basically. Like, you sign up for something and you just want to go play a game, but all your data is getting siphoned from you, and then behind the scenes it's getting sold to a third party. And that third party, Cambria Analytics or whatever they're going to call themselves this week, they are utilizing your data to manipulate the system, to provide you with an experience, and to make things that you might not want any interest in. So think about people who are like really, really sustainable, and you're dedicated to a sustainable lifestyle, but yet you went on Facebook, and so you didn't know that they were actively building out neural networks and things like that. Like, that wasn't a part of what you wanted to participate in, but your data has been collected and you are now a part of that project. Why? That shouldn't be a thing. And so these are the kind of things that, like, we can prevent with Web3. So thank goodness for Web3, and thank goodness for the metaverse, because when we do the metaverse right, we're empowering the individual. And so there are a whole bunch of solutions that you can go out and you can identify with. You can decide whether or not they are solutions for you. All right. And so we're going to go through some of these headlines, because some stuff's coming out and, you know, we got to dive into it. We got to discover, like, what is it and what are we doing? So one of the things that came out this week is Flux IPFS. Now, this came out today, a couple hours ago. So Flux has come out with their own IP version of IPFS. So IPFS stands for Interplanetary File System, IPFS. Flux has their own IPFS now, and it is a storage enhancement, and they're saying that it's greatly going to improve the potential use cases of projects that can be deployed on the Flux decentralized cloud. They are offering the Web3 equivalent of storage solutions that are present right now in Web2 cloud platforms. So this just came out today. Users are going to be able to, it's saying that this is a proof of work a proof of work consensus mechanism, which means that there are miners and puzzles that are involved in actually creating consensus on the blockchain. So that means the blockchain is actually involved, which is really kind of cool. So I'm going to dive way deep into this one. Like I said, it just got announced a couple of hours ago, so I have not had a chance to get into this, but they're saying we've added Flux IPFS to the Flux platform to strengthen our current portfolio of product offerings and further establish Flux as the one-stop shop for those looking to launch decentralized applications in the cloud environment. So check that out. It's FLUX, Flux. I did not see this on their website. So they do have a whole bunch of other solutions that are out there, though. So tap in and go ahead and start looking through things. See if you are interested in certain things. Now, that's not the only thing that's out here. So like I said, this weekend I went deep diving and I had a really great meeting with some folks today that I cannot wait to share in just a minute. But we're going to keep going through the list. So here on October 6th, R-Drive mobile goes live on the Google Play Store. This is bringing decentralized data storage to Android devices. This article comes to us courtesy of CoinDesk, and it is basically saying that R-Drive has a mobile app that is now offering an alternative to Google Drive for data storage. So it is a decentralized permanent storage app offering users an alternative to other popular storage apps, but letting them permanently store their data with no file size limits. So this actually goes together with the Arweave storage network. And so there's also a option for Apple that is going to be coming out soon. So that happened on the 6th of October. Arweave, in case you guys don't know, it is a blockchain-based decentralized file storage service that's kind of similar to Filecoin and storage. I'm going to talk about later. Decentralized storage networks are looking to take a chunk out of the established data storage and server markets. Now, decentralized storage, what does that look like? So remember, I was telling you that we have this idea of centralized storage. And so centralized storage is a place where you can go and you have just a single server, or you have a single source for the server, right? So that's why it's centralized. It might be distributed to other servers. And so there could be backups and there's a little bit of redundancy, but at the end of the day, it's like one server, right? Decentralized storage or distributed servers are servers where that data is stored on nodes. And so these nodes, there are numerous nodes. It's not like five or six. There are hundreds, if not thousands of nodes scattered all across the world. And a copy of that data is spread across each of these different nodes. Now, some data sources, depending on what you're talking about, they actually are sharding the data. So what happens, and the important part of what happens, is that it's encrypted before or after you upload it, right? So you take your file and you upload it to a server, and that server then encrypts the data. And encryption is a way of protecting your file and making it private, okay? And so that file is then encrypted, and then it is sharded. So we hear this all the time in metaverse talk, like, right, oh, the experience is sharded. I'm, you know, I've got 10 people in one server and, you know, 56 on another. So we've reached capacity, right? So we take a file and you shard it and you put it into little pieces. And so basically it's like taking a cookie cutter to a file and cutting it up into pieces and then serving it to different nodes. And so that's exactly what you're going to be able to do. So it takes a data file, and in some instances, it takes that file and spreads that file out to other nodes. And the nodes copy nodes and copy nodes. And so it creates an idea of distributed and redundant storage. And so that is what some applications do. So there are some really cool different options that are available. Like I said, R.io is the one that is now working with Airweave, and it is a decentralized storage network that's being used by their team. They're expecting that to go live later in the first half of next year. Okay. There are more decentralized products out here. This just came to me today, even though it happened in September. So Microsoft actually led a $20 million funding round for Web3 startup, which is called Space and Time. And they are focusing on decentralized data. And decentralized data in their way of looking at things is that they're able to take any centralized database and turn it into a trustless data source that is connected directly to smart contracts, which typically means it's on the blockchain, and they're utilizing proof of SQL cryptography. Now, in almost every single article I read, not that I wrote, because I don't write articles, most of the articles that I read, they spelled SQL wrong. And so I was literally out here looking for SQL, like sequel to a movie. And I'm like, so did Microsoft decide that they wanted to have SQL, like sequence-driven storage for the crypto, or for this version of data, of decentralized data? But I believe, after a little bit of deep diving, I believe what they actually meant was proof of SQL, SQL, which would be SQL databases. And so it makes a whole lot more sense if that's the case. Now, if it's not, then Microsoft has definitely, either way, Microsoft has come up with a different protocol, a different consensus mechanism than what we're typically used to. So again, this came out in September, so you may have already heard about this. Nicole might have been late on this, but maybe I wasn't. And it is within the parameters of this show to inform. So that is what we're doing. So $20 million was spent to make that happen. Now, we know Microsoft is Microsoft SQL, so this is likely compatible with Azure databases, and it also is very likely compatible with the Azure GovCloud. So the government has a cloud that's out there that they use in traditional markets, so in Web3, and so it is very likely that this will, in some kind of way, be able to transform the government and give them a little bit of a bigger edge when it comes to actually adopting the blockchain, because we knew that was going to take some time given how slow things move in the government. But we're seeing things happen. And so that's what's really important. The other thing that's important about this is that I don't feel like this is actually decentralized at all. So when I dove in to the information that I could find, it does say that they are that the SQL model allows users to show evidence of tampering with data, but in the way that they're doing it, instead of things being actually transactions being run on the blockchain or that kind of distributed type of logic that I talked about earlier with nodes, they're not actually doing that. What they're doing is they have a database, and that database stores transactions. And if you want to make changes, then that centralized database can be turned into a trustless database. But they actually even said that it's not a decentralized database. Like, it's just kind of living in that 2.01 world, right? Like, it's not quite 2.5. I won't give it that type of credit. I will say it's 2.1. All right. So that is definitely happening too. Not going to spend too much time on that. But the thing that I wanted to say about it is that as we are looking at what Microsoft's doing, as we're looking at any time Microsoft is doing something, not only do we need to look at the GovCloud, but we also need to remember that now Microsoft has a partnership with Facebook. So if they're living in 2.5 and they're coming out with databases that are mimicking decentralization, but it's really just centralized, then that gives Facebook an opportunity to say that they're in Web3 when they're not. So it is important for us to be able to research these things, to dive in, take a look at the notes, and then see what it really, like whether or not it sits within your realm of decentralization. And so that is, again, the meta mind shift. You have to know that sometimes you got to research stuff. And so it's a little bit of work to get things done out here. All right. So we got a whole lot of articles, y'all. That is what I wanted to talk about with that one. And then this one, it's a little bit of a different flavor of article. But back on the 5th of October, Dubai came out with the gross metaverse product. And so y'all have heard of GDP, gross domestic product. Well, Dubai came out with gross metaverse product. And so that means that there is now, according to Dubai, a way to track metrics across the metaverse. And so that's what they're looking to do is actually, and you know, I've talked about this before, the UAE and Dubai are definitely trying to have, they're in competition to see who can be the biggest metaverse, the best metaverse first. So this is all a part of that. But I thought that this was really, really interesting because this makes it so much more real. It's like, man, we got like fancy terms for stuff now, like the GDP, the GMP, the gross metaverse product. Nobody's talking about that. Why not? We need to have our eyes on it and get our hands around it and dip our toes into that so that we understand it a little bit more and definitely can tap in the future when we start hearing about GMP and how it is transforming and guiding people's thoughts about the metaverse. All right, y'all. I am going to very quickly, I'm going to share something with you. And this is something that I just was elated to see. But look at this picture. I am so happy to see this. And I don't know why, but I do know why. I am just elated to see this. And this is from straight out of Vogue. Vogue Business and L'Oreal and Meta launched the Metaverse Startup Accelerator. But look at what they used for the picture. So she's beautiful. And I really wanted to just highlight the fact that Sister Girl is doing the thing and she looks amazing. And so it is definitely something that we're seeing more of as sisters are taking front and center stage. And it looks great on us. So while I'm not happy that this has anything to do with Meta, I am very happy for the culture and to see us on the front stepping stones when it comes to the metaverse and putting us forward. But when it comes to Meta, we know that of course the culture is up front because they want us locked into that metaverse forever. And so we cannot have that. So y'all, we gotta make sure that we are making waves and making things happen and that we are not getting stuck in that idea. We can go visit Meta. We are not gonna establish business there. We cannot do that. Let's see. I want to now head over to my next article. And my next article is very interesting. And that one is basically the fact that, Interpol has established a police force for the metaverse. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I brought you an article that was talking about how there was information, or there was like a, I forget what country it was, but someone had it. I think it was Dubai, either Dubai or the UAE. They had a police type of situation in the metaverse. And so now we're seeing Interpol thought that was a good idea. So Interpol, which is the international, I forget what Interpol stands for, but they are international global policing. They literally said straight out of London that they are announcing the launch of a metaverse specifically designed to aid in global policing. So I think that that is very interesting. The metaverse seems to herald an abstract future, but the issues that it raises are those that have always motivated Interpol. Supporting our member countries to fight crime and make the world, virtual or not, a safer place for those who inhabit it. And that came straight from, so this is from Dubai, New Delhi. And so we are entering a new world, but our commitment remains the same. So here's my message to y'all. So when we're thinking about things like this, they're doing it. So why aren't you? Think about your business. Think about what it is you do. Think about the way that you show up, because these businesses, these big entities are all coming to the metaverse. They've all come and they've all said, hey, I want to do this. I'm going to build out X, Y, and Z. I'm going to go trademark. I'm going to go patent. And they're doing it left and left and left and left and right. So if they're doing it, and they're confidently saying that the future is this, and they're building it out, does it not make sense for us to do the same? We are here now, and we are in a space where it absolutely makes sense for us to make sure that we are securing the future for ourselves and for those of us who are around us, all right? All right, so that's that. We talked about cyber threats before. We still got to have that whole show about what it looks like to be threatened in the metaverse. And then, you know, there's some great articles out this week about who's spending the big bucks on some of these projects. Who are these companies? I encourage everybody. There's a site called TechCo, and there is a really great article about the money that's being spent in some of these metaverse worlds. And if nothing else, it will get you to looking at different metaverses, because they are always out there. And so I love, you know, from NVIDIA, which I'm, you know, NVIDIA's love for me, but they have always understood from the beginning that they were not just a chip company. So if they understood that about a company as big as NVIDIA, why don't you understand that about you and your business? Think about it. Why are you different? You should not be different. We should not be different. We should be doing the same thing, acting as global entities for ourselves, because ain't nobody else gonna do it. So that's that. Yo, I'm excited about this next one too. And as I'm reading it, I'm gonna share. Oh man, we're running low on time, but I want to definitely share this article, because this came out and this one is for the culture. So let's go ahead and show this. And while I'm showing this one, I'm going to be reading this one. So CyberKongs welcomed Africa Rare, Africa's first metaverse. So I don't know about first, but we'll go with it for the sake of this article and the sake of this glorious news. One of the first PFP gaming franchises has set up its home in Africa Rare. And so CyberKongs has secured a space and a place in Ubuntu land in order to set up its presence in the African metaverse, with big plans to use this platform to change lives for good. Visitors to this metaverse will be able to immerse themselves in CyberKongs ecosystem by visiting their jungle build or hang out with other members of the CyberKongs community. And it will be, 15,000 CyberKongs will be interoperable in Africa Rare. Through this, they will be raising funds to support the conservation in Virunga National Park. And this national park, which is a UNSCO World Heritage Site in the Albertine Rift Valley of Democratic Republic of the Congo, is home to the world's most endangered gorillas. CyberKongs have been supporting Virunga for years and intend to leverage their presence in Africa Rare to make that support even further. So, first of all, I'm not a fan of anything that is an ape or any kind of thing like that, but this is a little different. Because those other apes over there have kind of sullied that for some folks, I'm always leery, but I like the idea that, first of all, we're bringing attention to Africa Rare, and we are also bringing attention to Ubuntu Land, which is something that I told my community about last year. So interoperability is what they are aiming for. They intend to have avatars for both the 2D, two-dimensional, as well as 3D playable avatars on the platforms in both Sandbox and in Africa Rare. So you guys, check out Ubuntu Land and check out the other thing. If you'd like to, you can come to their website, and I'm just going to scroll down this really quickly so you see it. Buy some virtual land, check it out, check out the villages that are going to be available and the tribes that are going to be available, and just check into it, like see what this is like. So what is the future? What is future-proofing Africa? What does that look like? How do we support this? And definitely let's tap in and see what kind of culture and what kind of flavor we can throw down in the metaverse as we are building out and building up and building around our future. So tap into that. All right. So definitely check out ownership and check out founders and things like that, because we absolutely want to make sure that this partner list should be way bigger, right? So we have seen thousands and hundreds of other folks having their specific lands and things. And when you go to the sponsorship page, or you go to the partnership page, there are millions of things here. So Black Multiverse needs to be here. All of y'all with Black organizations need to get over here, and we need to make this happen. But partnerships should definitely, we should have more of that, because this is an effort that we absolutely want to support. All right. So I said that I jumped into a rabbit hole this weekend. I absolutely did. As we begin to wrap up, I'm going to finalize some things and just let you know that this week, I stepped into decentralized storage, which is why we're talking about it today. But also, I was able to find some really cool things. So some of you guys know that as a part of Black Multiverse, we actually do offer Google Basics. And so that is a way for us to bring to light the ability to skill up in Web 2 so that we can make the transition into Web 3 worry-free. And so that is something that we offer to people. However, it is no secret that I am all about decentralization. So this always feels a little weird to talk about, but we are still in a space where we have to be in Web 2 quite a bit. So let's make the best of it, right? So Black Multiverse Enterprises is a 2022 Grow with Google High Impact Partner. We have attained gold status, y'all. So congratulations to the whole family of Black Multiverse, and that also includes the family over at Blackverse. And so having said that, I deliver training every Tuesday and Thursday from 10 a.m. until noon. And we have a training, and every single day we talk about these different Google products. And as I'm doing it, all I can think about is, okay, how do we decentralize that? How do we get to, where's the solution on the other side of the fence for this? And how do we make sure that like people are decentralized as we're doing it? So a couple of weeks ago, I actually did the Google Drive session where we learned all about Google Drive. And for me, I'm still asking that question, like, what does it look like? So I found a couple of solutions out here that can help us to begin to make that transition into Web3. So one of them is SCIF. So SCIF is an answer to personalized storage on the blockchain. And so, yes, they have both solutions, so both for business and for personal, so individual, but you are able to have mail. So a lot of y'all use Proton Mail. I'm not necessarily a fan. So I actually do like SCIF. I like the way that they're set up. I like the way that it looks on my screen, and I like the way that I'm able to access it. And so that's SCIF, I believe it is, .com. And then they also have a drive, and they also have like Notepad. So if you're thinking about Notion and being able to use Notion, you can take those notes and put them into SCIF instead. So those are different ways that you can use SCIF. The way that SCIF shows up is that it comes out as a decentralized platform. So not only are you able to actually use it and everything is encrypted, you're also, and that is end-to-end encryption, and you're also able to utilize the IPFS. So when you have a file, you're able to select that you want it to be stored on IPFS. So it's really cool. It's very convenient. The other thing that I absolutely fell in love with today and over the weekend is storage, S-T-O-R-J. And so I am going to put in the comments, I'm going to put a link so that you can get yourself a discount on storage and you can get started with storage. It's very, very easy. But also, I fell in love with it. They are carbon neutral. There is a lot of really cool things about storage. The price point is right. They are distributed decentralization. So that's how they show up. But I have a solution that I'm working on, y'all. If I get this done in the way that I want to, we're going to be using storage to make this happen. And again, you're seeing, I like the fact that they actually have user documentation out there that feels like something a user actually wants to read, not just somebody who's technical. And I am technical, so that made sense to me. So you guys, we are at our time. We covered a whole lot today. So if you have comments about anything, if you have specific solutions that you like to use when it comes to decentralized storage, whether that be decentralized storage on a node or decentralized storage on the blockchain or decentralized storage in the cloud, let me know in the comments, because I am looking for a bunch of different solutions for this project that I want to put together. So if you want to participate in that project, also let me know that, because I'm building it now. So you guys, I want to say thank you to all of our sponsors. And I also want to say thank you to Mr. Mark Lee, who is our producer and who is always supportive of what we are doing. And so we're going to say thank you to the sponsors. And here we go. Thank you to the Meta Mindshift Show. Thank you to Technical Consulting, Black Multiverse Enterprises, Blackverse, a Metaverse community. Thank you to Artsy. Thank you to the EE Testing Center. And thank you to the Black Business Network, the Black Business Expo, and the Black Business Olympics. Thank you also to Storage and to our new sponsor, which is going to be Storage, as well as Constant Contact. So thank you guys for supporting this show and the efforts that we are doing here. We are continuing to grow. We are looking for additional sponsorships. If you want your commercial to play on our network, give me a ring. You can go to metamindshift.com/sponsors. And that will take you to a space where you can check out what it is that we're doing and what we have to offer as far as distribution. Thank you also once again to our new sponsor, which is maxdistro.live. So thank you guys. It has been wonderful. I cannot wait to connect once again as we continue on our journey towards decentralization and the future. And as we head out, I want to say, this is Nicole. And my voice is resting.